And we're holding on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, ninth line by the two dots. We learned in the Mishnah about several different foods and things that are used by craftsmen that either we said some of them are taruvus chametz, they have actual chametz mixed into them. Some of them are chametz nukshe, which we're going to be discussing a lot in the sugya over here. Rashi, by the way, defines nukshe as ra, as bad chametz. So in other words, it's chametz that's not fully edible or not completed. The chimutz process hasn't started yet. A couple of different angles on what exactly the term means. One interesting one is and what the definition of chametz nukshe is. Good morning, Ali. A couple of different definitions. So again, Rashi is saying just chametz ra, that means bad. That chametz nukshe means bad chametz. There's an interesting idea that Tiferes Yisrael says the word nukshe could be related to the word moikesh, which means a stumbling block. So in other words, it's like something that was on the way to becoming chametz, but then somehow like it stumbled and didn't end up becoming full chametz. So that's chametz nukshe, which we're going to be discussing now over here, it's incomplete chametz. It's like the chimutz process started, but it hasn't completed yet, which we're going to be discussing later. It can also include chametz, which is inedible for one reason or another. So a number of the things we mentioned in the Mishnah, it's not really edible. The chametz is put into it, but it's not really edible as is. And then you have other things that we mentioned in the Mishnah that are taruvus chametz, where you have actual chametz mixed in with other ingredients. So we said in the Mishnah, zeklal kol shel min dagan. The general rule we said was anything that's made from grain. Then is also on Pesach. Hareza over the Pesach. Then it has to be you're over on bal yiro by your matzah, or it has to go away from your table, etc. So Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yeshua, b'chimei achas sheshininu kol shel min dagan hareza over Pesach. If any way the Mishnah is finishing off with that general rule that anything that contains grain is over on Pesach. Lama manu chachamim aselu. So why did the chacham have to list these seven things that are in the Mishnah? Now Tosfos points out, okay, we had to be informed that these kinds of things are only also with a lav rather than kores, as we said in the Mishnah. But still, first of the two answers. Number one is that in that case, the Mishnah didn't have to list all seven things. It could have listed one example of chametz nukshe, another one of chametz ayde taruvus, and that would have been good enough for us to understand the basic concept. Also, Tosfos says that after all, we learned yesterday, we said about Rabbi Eliezer, says aftach shite noshim, that he says also the cosmetic paste that women use, which he said is also over b'pesach. And we said that yesterday, the Ravid holds that he's not necessarily disagreeing with the Tanakhama. He's just adding another thing that Tanakhama left out, but most everybody else understands that Rabbi Eliezer is actually arguing with the Chachamim. One way of understanding the argument is that is as we said yesterday, is that these tachshitei noshim are chametz nukshe and al yidei taruvus. It's both. It's inedible chametz as well as it's inedible chametz that's mixed in with other ingredients. And yet Rabbi Eliezer still says it's ulcer. So this rule at the end of the Mishnah, anything that contains grain, hareza over olav, would only be according to Rabbi Eliezer, not according to the chachamim. So then the question is according to the chacham. So then the question is according to the chachamim. Then why are we listing? Why are we listing the seven things in the Mishnah? So the reason is Kadeshiyeh Rogil Behenu Vishmesehen. This way a person will be familiar with all of these things and with their names, and he'll know for each thing what it's made of, as we went through all seven things yesterday in the Gemara, and understand what each one is made out of, which is relevant not only as far as Pesach, it can be relevant during the rest of the year as well. Kiha, as we have the example, Dahu Bama Rava, there was a Yid from Eretz Yisrael, Ikla the Bavel, who visited Bavel, have a Bisra Bahade, he had some meat with him. Omalahu, so he asks his hosts, Krivali Matkilta, please give me some kind of dip to dip the meat in. Shama de Kaamri Krivale Kutach. So he overheard them saying, one person in the household was saying to the other, go get him some kutach. Now, kutach, we learned yesterday, is made with sour milk. It's made with whey. So therefore, it doesn't go with meat. Kivin to Shama kutach, as soon as he heard that they want to bring him kutach, pirush, then he stayed away because he knew, he being a Talmud Chacham, knew the list in our Mishnah and the Gemara on it, knew that kutach habavli contains milk. And therefore, that's it. Then he can't eat it. He can't eat it together with meat. If we hadn't had the list in the Mishnah and he hadn't learned what kutach habavli was made of, then he might have accidentally eaten basav chalav. So they've so that's the good of knowing, that's the good of knowing this list. As far as, by the way, why these people were thinking to offer him Kurtach, maybe they didn't know that what he had with him was meat. Maybe they thought he has, maybe they thought he has something else with him. It's also possible you have a Gemara in Cholin that mentions that there was a time when there were places in Bavel where they were very careless with the halachas of Basa B'Cholav until Rav came and started teaching them. So it could be that the story happened before that. Okay. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. So we said in the Mishnah, all of these things, all of these kinds of things listed in the Mishnah, there's an azhara, there's a lav not to eat them, but there's no kares. And we discussed yesterday, Rashi and Tosfos are arguing whether there's a, whether you're allowed to keep them around the house. Rashi holds that no, you're over on Bal Yorah, Bal Yomotze if you do. Rabbi Natam and Tosfos says that you're not elo over it and just means you can't be eating, you can't have them on your table. But in any case, the Mishnah had said that all of these things, there's no chiyuv kores for eating them. So we have to figure out, man tana, which tana would be that says that? The chometz dogon gomer al yet harovitz, that even if it's chometz gomer, it's complete chometz, but it's mixed into a mixture, as for example, with kotach habavli, which is made with breadcrumbs, the nuksha be'ene, or chometz nuksha by itself, again, chometz nuksha being, as Rashi says, chometz ra, bad chametz, which is not fully edible, but it's be'ein, it's not mixed in with anything else, which some of the other examples in our Mishnah are chametz nuksha, for example the tachshite noshim. So which Tana says that such things are which Tana says that such things are only subject to a lav? Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Rav Meir. That would be a pointed a mayor. By the way, worth pointing out also, the Rif mentions that with most of the things in our Mishnah, he says, in addition, you would have to have water in the mix as well, because if you didn't, we learned in the previous Perek, may peiris ein machmitzin, so therefore it wouldn't be considered chometz. Rashi might not agree to that. Rashi had learned over there that fruit juice is able to create chometz nuksha, and chometz nuksha is exactly what we're dealing with over here. Anyway, so which Tana would it be that says that chometz nuksha by itself or chometz gomer, but in a mixture, is not chayev kores, only a lav? Omer of Yehuda, Omer Avra Meiri. That would be acquainted of Meir. The Tanya, we learn in a braisa like this. Now we're going to learn later on in the perek that you have, there's a very early stage of the when you mix flour and water together and make a dough, when it starts rising, there are stages in what happens when it starts rising. First, you have for the first thing that happens is that the dough turns pale. It turns a whiter shade. The Mishnah compares it to like somebody whose hair stands on end and they turn pale. You have, that's the first stage. Reb Meir calls that seor. Now that's not the same thing as seor. Seor is sourdough that you can use to make other dough chametz. This is seor with a chirik, and it means, according to Reb Meir, that is the first stage of chimutz, and at that point already you can't eat it on Pesach. A person's not chayav kares for it necessarily, but he would hold that already that's the first stage of chimutz. Then in the Mishnah there, later on in our parak, Reb Yehuda disagrees, and says that when it's white, when it turns white, it's still fully matzah. You would be able to be yotze the mitzvah matzah with it. It wouldn't be considered chometz. Okay, maybe d'rabbanan it would, but in any case, but d'araisa, it still would be considered matzah. Then you have the next stage when cracks start forming in it. You have tiny cracks. The Mishnah later says kikaune chagovim, like locusts' antennas. Then at that point, Rabbi Yehuda calls that seer. Now, Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, would call that already chometz gomer. The Gemara says over there, Rav Meir says, listen, when you have two cracks like that on top, it means there are a lot more cracks forming underneath, under the surface that you don't see. And therefore, it's already complete chometz. So now you have you have the stage when it's white, where Rabbi Yehuda says there's no problem with it, and Rav Meir already calls it seer. Then you have the next stage when it has cracks, where it has two cracks, where Rabbi Yehuda calls that chometz, where Rabbi Yehuda calls that seer, And Reb Meir holds it's considered chometz gomer. So Braisa says, seor yisorif, seor has to be burnt, v'noisne l'kalboy, but you're allowed to give it to your dog. Now the Gemara is going to ask, one second, if you have to burn it, means it's also about, no, what do you mean you're allowed to feed it to a dog? V'ho'oichloy ba'aboyim, and if somebody eats it, then he's chayev malchus, but not kores. Now, first we have to figure out what the Braisa is saying. And then we're gonna understand from it what Reb Meir's opinion is about chometz nukshe, because this seur, however we define seur, is an example of chometz nukshe. Not in the sense that it's not edible. Obviously, if you can eat matzah and you can eat chometz, then you could eat this dough that's only beginning to rise. But the point is, in other words, it's not edible in the sense of it's not fully formed chometz. If you wanted to eat chometz, this isn't it. So first we have to figure out how gufa kasha. Now you seem to have a contradiction in the braisa itself. Amrit siur yisorif. First you're saying that siur has to be burnt. Alma also bahana, implying that it's also bahana. V'hoda ton even noisner lefekalbo. And that says you can put it in front of your dog. Alma mutter bahana. So it's mutter. So which is it? So the answer is hachika amar. The answer is the braisa means like this. It's using two different definitions of siur. First of all, seer yisarif. We have a general statement that seer has to be burned. Now, what is the definition of seer? Did a mayor, little mayor, did a behoda, little behoda? Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda have their respective definitions of seer. Reb Meir's definition when it turns white, Reb Yehuda's definition when it develops small cracks. So either way, each one of them holds that what I consider seer has to be burnt because it's already also bahana. Then when the braisa continues, when it says you can put it in front of your dog, that would be did a mayor lit Reb Yehuda. That would mean what Reb Meir considers seer, Reb Yehuda would not yet consider seer because it doesn't even have cracks yet. And according to Reb Yehuda, only when it develops cracks is it seer. So according to Reb Yehuda, you could take dough that has reached that stage, which according to Reb Meir is already considered seer, and according to Reb Yehuda, it's still mutter b'hana. In fact, according to Reb Yehuda, it is matzah, at least d'oraisa. Tosfos points out, d'rabbanan, fine, it would be osir. But Reb Yehuda would say then it's still mutter b'hana, therefore you're allowed to put it in front of a dog. And then when the braisa continues, that if a person eats it, he's over on a lav and it's chayav malchus, ason le Reb Meir. That brings us back to Reb Meir, where Reb Meir would say that since this thing is seer, fine, it's not yet chometz gomer, therefore a person's not chayav kares for eating it, but it is seer, it's the first stage of chimutz, because again, according to Reb Meir, once it turns white, then already that's the beginning of chimutz. So therefore, according to him, you'd be chayav, a person would be chayav malchus for it. So therefore, now that we understand the braisa that way, shamin and leilat a meyer nuksha be'ene belav. Now, therefore, we see that a meyer holds that chometz nuksha all by itself is subject to a lav because that's what seer is. It's chometz nuksha. V'chol shekin chometz dogen gomer al yedei tarubis. So now, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, would be saying that we can make a kavah chomer. How much more so where it's chometz gomer, but it's al yedei tarubis, where it's in a mixture. Because, as the Gemara is going to say soon, Rav Yehuda holds that chometz ayde taruvus is worse than chometz nuksha. And there's a certain logic behind that, because chometz nuksha, even though it's be'ein, it's not full-fledged chometz. It's only on the way to becoming chometz, or it's not really edible chometz or whatever. So certainly, chometz gomer ayde taruvus should be even stricter. And yet, if our Mishnah is telling us that it's only that it's only subject to a lav, then that could only be according to the Meir, because according to the Yehuda, the Tana, there'd be no way to make it work. You don't see in the Braisa over here where Rabbi Yehuda says that chometz nuksha should be subject to a lav and be chayiv malchus. That we said is only according to the Meir. So that's what Rav Yehuda says, that you see that our Mishnah goes according to the Meir. On the other hand, Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Elazar, Rav Eliezer. On the other hand, Rav Nachman says that it would be the opinion of Rav Eliezer. Now, Tosfos, by the way, pointed out at the beginning of the Perek, we had Rav Eliezer in our Mishnah mentioning Tachshitei Noshim, but we also have in the Gemara over here where we're talking about, again, Rav Eliezer is not disagreeing with the Tanakhama about the seven things that he listed. He's just adding an extra things. Now, the Gemara is going to end up saying that the Gemara is going to end up saying that Rav Eliezer doesn't have a problem with Chometz Nuksha Be'enei. That chometz nuksha be'ein, not mixed with anything else. Whereas that some of the things in our Mishnah are chometz nuksha be'ein. So that means, therefore, Tosfos says, apparently, either in the Mishnah or in the Gemara, we have to say that instead of one of them is not Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Lazar. So either in the Mishnah, the one who adds tachshitei nashim is Rabbi Lazar, and then in our Gemara over here, the braisa that we're going to quote over here is going to be Rabbi Eliezer, or the other way around. So Rab Nachman Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Nachman says that our Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, al chametz dogon gomer onush kodesh. If a person eats chametz dogon gomer, complete chametz, and it's be'ein, then he's chayev kodesh. Al eruve belav, and if he eats something that has chametz mixed into it, then he's over on a lav divir Rabbi Eliezer. So says Rabbi Eliezer, as we're going to discuss soon what the lav is. The Chum say that no, for chametz dog and gomer, a person gets kores. So for example, a person eats a piece of bread on Pesach, he's chayev kores. The Chachamim would say that for taruvas chametz, he's not chayev anything. Now, that doesn't mean it's mutter. It could still be also derabanan, but they would say deraisa, there would be no issue in it. Which, by the way, I mean, we don't necessarily mean, let's say, in the example of Kutach HaBavli, you know, our Mishnah, the Alter Rebbe points out, and in the introduction to Hilchos Pesach, they don't really put it in so much in order to eat the breadcrumbs. You eat the breadcrumbs when you eat in the Kutach, but the purpose of putting them in is not even really so much, in order to taste bread. It's more, it's called Kuha Ba'alma. It's called like a, just to give it a certain sharpness, like to give it a certain richness of flavor, kind of. So that kind of thing, the Chachamim are saying, now that kind of thing, the Chacham arguing over here is not even a lav. It's only at most, it's only also derabanan. Okay, so now, so Rabbi Nachman says, so we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that a taruvas chometz is an isulav. So v'sham inin leil Rabbi Eliezer d'amat chometz dogan gomer al de taruvas b'lav. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that if you have something where chometz gomer is mixed in, for example, kutach habavli, then there's a lav. V'chol shekin nukshav enei. So he says, how much more so would be the case if it's nukshah by itself. Or there's a different gears that some of the Mefarshim have, Vahu Hadin. The same thing would be as far as Nuksha Be'ene. So in other words, according to Rabbi Nachman, the idea is that that Nuksha is more severe than Chometz Be'ene, than Chometz Gomer Be'ene. Exactly the opposite assumption as Rabbi Yehuda is making, and therefore it comes out that according to him, so if we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that one is also, then how much more so that Nuksha would be also as well, since Nuksha is more severe according to him. And again, the logic of it would be because Chometz Nuksha Be'ein, it's right there. It's right there. Okay, it's only Nuksha, but the fact is, it is completely made out of grain, and it is Chometz, or on its way to becoming Chometz, and therefore that should be much more severe than just putting in Chometz into a mixture where, again, it might be in that mixture only the Kura Ba'alma, only to give it like a certain sharpness and a certain richness of flavor, rather than you actually tasting the Chometz in there per se. So those are two explanations those are two possibilities then. One is that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir, and the other is that it goes like Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, "V'Rab Nachman, my time alay omak Rabbi Yehuda." Now, why doesn't Rabbi Nachman want to accept Rabbi Yehuda's explanation that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Meir, and we see that Rabbi Meir holds that chometz nuksha by itself is also to eat and is chayiv malchus, because he said about seer, and therefore we're going to derive from that the same thing is true as far as chometz al yedei tarovus. Because Rabbi Nachman would tell you, Dilma ad kan like Kamer Rabbi Meir Hossam. Maybe Rabbi Meir is only talking about over there. Elam Nuksha Be'ene. I hold that Nuksha is more severe. So maybe Rabbi Meir would say that only Chometz Nuksha by itself is an Isur Lav and is Chayiv Malkus. But when you have complete chometz gomer and it's only in a mixture, maybe not. Maybe the mayor would be maker with that and say that a person is not chayv malchus for it. So he says you can't necessarily prove just because the mayor holds that seer is chayv malchus, that person who eats seer is chayv malchus, you can't necessarily prove from that the mayor would say the same thing as far as chometz nuksha. And for Rabbi Yehuda, my time alay omak Rabbi Nachman. What about, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda accept Rabbi Nachman's understanding? It's the other way around, omaloch, because he can say ad kan like omar Rabbi Eliezer hosam, because you know when Rabbi Eliezer is talking about in his braisa, elo chometz dogon gomer al yedei tarubis. He's saying that if a person eats complete chometz, but it's in a mixture, that then it's a lav. Avol nukshe be'enei le'omar. He never said anything. about Nuksha by itself. And again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Chometz Nuksha is less severe than Chometz Dagon Gomer al Yei Tarovus. So therefore, he would say, again, same argument. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer would be Machmir when it comes to, a Tarovus Chometz and make a person Chayiv Malkus for it. But he would be Maker when it comes to Chometz Nuksha and say that a person would be Potter for it. So therefore, so the basic question is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman, which one is more stringent? Which one is more severe? Nuksha by itself, or real chametz, but in a mixture? Okay, so the Gemara says Tanya Kavasei de Rabbi Yehuda. We learn a brisa according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the Mishnah. That our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Meir. And that chometz nuksha, for example, seer is less severe than chometz al yedei tarubas, and therefore that if nuksha is an isur lav, then certainly tarubas chometz is. Namely, the braisa says kol machmetzes lo seichelu. The pasuk says you should not eat any machmetzes. And what is the word machmetzes? Machmetzes implies something that is not. It's not complete chometz. There's something about it that it's not chometz per se. It's only machmetzes. So the rabbis kuta chabavli, that comes to include the things from our Mishnah, kuta chabavli v'sheicher amadi and beer from madai v'chometz adomi and vinegar from edom v'zisoim hamitzri and zisoim the medicinal drink from Mitzrayim. So all of those things are included under kol machmetzes lo seichelu. Yachol yehi onush koris. Then continues the Braisa, you would think a person is chayav kares for eating these things on Pesach. No, Talmud Loima. Therefore, the Pasuk says a few Pesukim earlier, Ki kol oicho chometz v'nichrasa, anybody who eats chometz will get kares, implying al chometz dogon gomer onush kares. Only when it's complete chometz, only when it's pure chometz by itself or in a taruvus where it's the majority, then we would say he's chayav kares. So, for example, for a piece of bread, but for a mixture of chametz, a person is only over on a lav and is only chayiv malchus. Thus far, the braisa. Now, man shamat le d'omer aliruvi b'lav. Now, who do we see that? Which of the tanoim that we've discussed so far, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer, which one explicitly says that a taruvus chametz is subject to a lav? That was Rabbi Eliezer. That was in the second braisa that Rabbi Nachman brought, where he said al chametz dargan gomer onush kares v'aliruvi b'lav divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer is clearly the one who's saying that taruvus chametz is a lav. Now, on the other hand, he doesn't say anything in his braisa about nuksha. Now, the point is, though, that in this last braisa, we're trying to find where he's being makel as possible. We're trying to say, because unlike the previous braisas, where we're arguing what is chayav malchus and what is not, here the braisa is sort of coming from the other side of it. The braisa is telling us there are certain things that are chayav kares, and then there are certain things that are more lenient than that. So in that case, shouldn't the braisa be mentioning nuksha as well? It doesn't mention it. Shmamina nuksha l'Rabbi Eliezer lesli. Therefore, we see from this last braisa that Rabbi Eliezer does not hold of chometz nuksha being a lav. In fact, he would say that a person is potter for it. So therefore, our Mishnah couldn't be like Rabbi Eliezer because our Mishnah lists everything. Our Mishnah lists taruvas chometz such as kurta chabavli, and chometz nuksha, for example, zoyman shal tabo, for example, zoyman shal tabayim, the liquid that the dyers use, we said, which had bran soaked in it. And the Mishnah had said all of those is a lav, but now we see from this last braisa, since it's mentioning which things a person is over on a lav and is chayav malchus for, and it mentions only taruvas chometz. It doesn't say anything about nuksha, implying therefore that Rebbe Eliezer in this braisa would say that nuksha a person is potter for, which wouldn't be like our Mishnah. So therefore that shows that the understanding of the Mishnah cannot be like Rabbi Nachman, that our Mishnah is like Rebbe Eliezer. It would have to be like Rabbi Yehuda, that our Mishnah would go like Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir had mentioned in his braisa only chometz nuksha. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, is saying we can make a Kavah Chomer that all the more so it would be true of Chometz Ayudei Tarovis, which is the first couple of items in our Mishnah. And the item mentioned in our Braisa. Okay. So that shows that our Mishnah is in fact like Rav Meir. Okay, so now we've been talking about a lav all this time. So now let's figure that out. Rabbi Eliezer, a ruvi be lav minole. Now, where is Rabbi Eliezer getting that there's a lav for taruvas chametz? Apparently, we said in the Braisa, "Div kol machmetzes lo sechelu," because the pasuk says you shouldn't eat any machmetzes. Now that pasuk is already after a few psukim earlier. It said now you have like this. There are three different psukim that we're gonna. There are a few different psukim that we're gonna have to keep track of over here. We have one pasuk earlier that mentions chametz, ki kol oicho chametz v'nichrasa. So there the pasuk clearly says a person eats chametz, then he gets kodesh. That's pasuk tesvav in that perek. Then you have a few psukim later, it says, ki kol oichal machmetzes v'nichrasa nefesh ahi, that anybody who eats machmetzes is getting kores. And then you have a third posik that says, kol machmetzes lo seichelu, don't eat any machmetzes. And there it doesn't say anything about kores. So the question is, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that there's a lav based on the third pasuk that says that says kol machmetzes lo sechelu, but and it doesn't say kores, but e hochi kores nami lichayev. But based on that logic, Rabbi Eliezer ought to say that it's chayev kores as well. Dochtiv ki kol oicha machmetzes v'nichrasa. After all, the previous pasuk says anybody who eats machmetzes gets kores. So what makes him say that machmetzes should only be a lav when we have the previous pasuk mentions kores? The answer is Hahumi Boiler Lichidatanya. He would use that pasuk to teach us something else. Lichidatanya, as it says in a Braisa, Machmetzes, when the pasuk says Machmetzes, it's in parenthesis over here because actually in some other places where this Braisa is quoted, it doesn't start with that word. Either it leaves it out, or Rashi in the previous perek says that the girsa should actually be chametz, whatever. Ainli elishin is chametz me'ela. Of, you would only know if you didn't have a pasuk for it, that only if dough becomes chametz by itself. So for example, you left it out and eventually it became chametz because eventually you have yeasts floating around in the air that get into it and start working on it. So then you would say a person is chayev kares. Machmas davar acha minayin. How do we know a person is also chayev kares if it was made chametz using something else? We had the example over there. Let's say that you took dregs of wine or apples or whatever, and use them to make dough chametz. How do you know that bread also a person is chayev kares for? Talmud Lema kol machmetzes v'nichrasa. Therefore, the pasuk says that a person eats any machmetzes, then he gets kares. So Rabbi Eliezer would say that pasuk is referring to that kind of thing, not machmetzes as in what we were talking about before, chametz al yedei tarovus, a mixture containing chametz, but rather machmetzes as in something that was made real chametz, but it was made real chametz not by sitting out by itself, but by having something else that ferments it, for example, wine dregs or whatever put in. So that kind of thing a person is chayev kares for, because ultimately it becomes chametz gomer, and chametz gomer for sure a person is chayev kares for. But here we're talking about, but then when they have another pasuk that says kol machmetzes lo sechelu, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that that's teaching us about taruvas chametz and that it's only a lav. Well, then the question is, e hachi de lav nami lahachi udasa. Then you could say the same thing, the one that mentions in connection with a lav, maybe it's also talking about where it's nischametz machmes dover acher. So maybe you don't have a posik at all for taruvas chametz. So that doesn't work. Okay. Ella, no. Rather, we're going to say taimed the Rabbi Eliezer mikol. So the reason why Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that we learn about taruvas chametz is from the word kol. Because it says kol machmetzes. So then the question is hosem nami oksiv kol nu, and by ki kol oichol machmetzes v'nichrasa. It also says the word kol. The answer is haumi boi l'rabbis is anoshim. Rabbi Eliezer would say that word kol comes to include that women are also to eat chometz on Pesach, and that if they eat chometz gomer they're chayiv kares. Question: what do we need that for? Noshim mid Rabbi Yehuda amar Rav Nafka. We learn that women are uh, we. We can learn that women are also to eat chametz from a different source, from what Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rab. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Rab, v'chein tana dvei Rabbi Shmuel. We also learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. Amakro, the pasuk says, ish oy isha ki yasu mekochate sa'adim. The pasuk says, if a man or a woman do any of the kinds of averus that people do, then depending, the pasuk is talking about over there about how they have to bring a korban asham for certain averus, for me'ilos, for xelos or whatever. And from that we learn hishva kosev ish la isha l'cholon shin shabbat Torah. The Torah is equating men and women as far as all punishments in the Torah. In general, therefore, whenever the Torah tells us a lav, you're not allowed to do something, generally it applies equally to men and women. And when there's a penalty involved, whether the penalty is a korban or malchus or misa, it also applies equally to both of them. So automatically we know, therefore, that women can't eat chametz. So why do we need a special limud from the word kol? The answer is itzrich. You would still say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you need it. You can't learn this from the general case. Because otherwise, without the word kol, you might have thought like this. Now you have a pasuk we quoted a few times in the previous parak that you're not allowed to eat chametz during Pesach. For 7 days, you have to eat matzahs, which again, you know, we said, it's not that there's a mitzvah chiyuvis to eat matzah all 7 days. It just means that if a person wants to eat bread during those 7 days, it has to be matzah rather than chametz bread. We talked about also there may be a little bit of a mitzvah involved in eating it the 7 days, we said, but it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis. The first night you're obligated to no matter what. The rest of the days, primarily it's just a reshus. But there is an idea that we mentioned that some mefoshim say that maybe there is a shtickle mitzvah in it, that every time you eat matzah during Pesach, then you're being makayim a certain mitzvah. But in any case, now, so again, you have the hekesh in the pasuk between eating chametz and eating matzah. Therefore, we would think like this: Kol sheyeshne bekum echol matzah. Anybody who has a chiyuv to eat matzah, yeshne bebal toichol chametz. Only those people are chayev not to eat chametz. Vahani noshi. Now, when it comes to women, hoyov alesne who bekum echol matzah, they're not on the face of it. We would assume that they're not obligated to eat matzah. Dehavile mitzvahs esesh asman gromahi, because after all, it's a mitzvah esesh asman groma, and we know that women are generally potter from such mitzvahs. So you would think maybe they're not obligated to not eat chametz as well, kamash malan, and therefore we would need the kol and the pasuk to tell us that they are. So even though usually we would say that hishva kosev ish ala ish, but over here, because we would assume that women are potter from eating matzah on Pesach, therefore they might be potter from the chiyuv of eating chametz as well. One second. So now the word kol tells us not to do like that. And now that we know that women are also to eat chametz, and that they're chayav the same penalties as men for it, because we learn from the word kol. So vahashta de israbalahu b'val teichah chametz. Now we take the hekesh the other way around. Now that we say we were marba that they are chayav and that they have the mitzvah of not eating chametz, israbi nami lachilas matzah. So they also get, now we're marba them based on the same hekesh, but working it in reverse. Before we thought we start with the assumption they're potter from eating matzah, therefore they would be potter from eating chametz, and therefore we need the word kol to tell us otherwise. Now that we have that word kol, then we flip around the hekesh. Now the hekesh teaches us whoever is also to eat chametz is chayav to eat matzah. So this is an exception to the rule of mitzvah seser shazman groma. V'hashter yisrabel hu b'val toichah chametz. Now that we're marbe that they're also to eat chametz, yisrabel nami lachilas matzah, then they're also automatically included in eating matzah. Kid Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Lozer, as Rabbi Lozer says, the Amar Rabbi Lozer, noshim chayavas b'achilas matzah dvar Torah. Women are chayav to eat matzah min ha-Torah, shenemar, as we just said, lo'seuch lol of chametz for them, because the pasuk says, don't eat chametz and eat matzah. So the hekesh teaches us, kol sheyeshne b'val toichah chametz, yeshne b'achilas matzah. Anybody who is also to eat chametz has a mitzvah to eat matzah. V'hani noshi nami, so therefore women also, hoyover yeshen b'val teichah chametz, since they have a mitzvah not to eat chametz, yeshen b'kum achel matzah, then they have a mitzvah to eat matzah. So ultimately, yeah, what you learned in Kiddushin is based on that. Not yet. Now, but that's we needed the word kol in the pasuk we're saying in order to make that work. Otherwise we would have thought to learn the hekesh the other way around. Actually, Tosfos points out that usually when we have the Gemara mentions in some places, if you have a hekesh, which you could say teaches you a kulo, or you could say it teaches you a chumra, we usually say l'chumra makshinam. Why don't we say that over here? Tosfos says because Usually the end of the pasuk explains the beginning of the pasuk. If the pasuk is telling us over here that lo sechel al chametz shivas yom teichel al matzes, you would say the second part is explaining the first. Who is chayev? Who is also to eat chametz? Only those who are chayev to eat matzah. And therefore, the structure of the pasuk itself, in other words, if the pasuk had said it the other way around, eat matzahs for 7 days and don't eat chametz, then we would have said that it teaches us that everybody is chayev to eat matzah, and therefore everybody is also to eat chametz. But now that you have it in the order, first chametz, then matzah, then you would think that matzah, that the matzah is the primary part of the pasuk. The second part is explaining the first. Who is also to eat chametz? Only those who have a mitzvah to eat matzah, namely not women, because the mitzvah says shas man grama. Also, Tosfos points out that the we could have made a gzeira shava from sukkahs, where we say that women are potter from sitting in the sukkah, and we could have made a gzeira shava from that, that therefore they're also potter from matzah. So anyway, the bottom line is that what? No, not because of Ha'ezrach, because of the Gzeira Shava, because of the Gzeira Shava, Chamisha also. By Pesach, it says that, yeah. The point is, we would have thought to make that Gzeira Shava, yeah. The point to being, in other words, there. So ultimately, we would have thought to say that women are potter from eating matzah, and women, and therefore women are potter from the issue of eating chametz. Now we're saying that no, the word kol tells us otherwise. Ki kol oichel machmetzes tells us that they are also to eat chametz, and therefore once we do that, then automatically that tells us they're chayiv to eat matzah because of the hekesh.
Why did you just say women? Why not also avadim?
When we say women, we mean avodim as well. Yeah, avodim in general are chayiv in any mitzvahs that women are. So yeah, but that's right. So that gemara that you've learned in that gemara that you're learning in kedushin is based on the gemara over here that we're saying, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, we need the word kol in order to make that work. Otherwise, the whole thing wouldn't work. We would have learned the hekesh the other way around. Right? Okay. So the question is, okay, so if we're saying that the word kol is including women, the umay chazis dahi kol l'rabuyin noshim umapket eruvay. Now, what are you telling me then? That maybe, who says then that the word kol is coming to include women and is excluding taruvas chametz? Maybe say just the opposite. It comes to include tarovas chametz, that would be also chayev kares if a person eats it. But and then we say women aren't included. The answer is mistabra, because it's more logical to figure like this. Koi ba'ochlin, when we're dealing, the kol that it says by kares is referring to the people who eat chametz. Ki kol oichol chametz. So therefore, it refers to the oichol. So it's more logical. Koi ba'ochlin, mar ba'ochlin. It's more logical to say that at that point we're including other people who would eat it. But is there logic to say koi ba'ochlin, mar ba'nechalin? Is it logical that the kol in connection with eating chametz, where it's talking about the kol is referring to the people that eat chametz, that it should be including various kinds of chametz and say that it includes tarovas chametz? No. So therefore, it's more logical to say that it includes women. But Maskiflor Rav Nosson, Avur de Rav Huna Breid de Rav Nosson. But Rav Nosson, the father of Rav Huna Breid de Rav Nosson, asks on that. Now it's odd to call him Rav Nosson, the father of Rav Huna Breid de Rav Nosson. If the son is Rav Huna Breid de Rav Nosson, obviously the father is Rav Nosson. So in fact, that's why it's in parenthesis over here, because maybe you should take it out. On the other hand, maybe the point is that Rav Huna Breid de Rav Nosson is famous in Shas. He was actually, we talked about a couple of weeks ago in connection with the Rosh Galusa. He was the Rosh Galusa in the times of Rav Ashi. He was also one of the great Chachamim of that time. So therefore, like, he's better known than his father. So like the Gemara can be speaking of Rav Nosson, the father of Rav Huna bar Nosson. Like Rav Huna bar Nosson, everybody knows this is his father, who's less well known, but he came up with a question over here also. Anyway, so he asks, V'chol heicha dekoi ba'ochlin le'mar b'necholin. So you're telling me that whenever the pasuk is in, that whenever you have a pasuk in reference to the people who are eating, you say you can't be marba from a word kol in the pasuk ne'echol and other kinds of things that could be eaten. V'hatanya, but we learn in a braisa. Now the pasuk, you have a similar kind of expression when it comes to chaylev. The pasuk says ki kol oichol chaylev, because anybody who eats chaylev mina behema asher yakriv, from the animals that are brought as a korban. Now the whole pasuk goes like this. Never mind the whole pasuk actually. The pasuk says ki kol oichel chaylev, anybody who eats chaylev min hambehema, from the animals asher yakriv v'menu isha l'Hashem, that are brought as a korban to Hashem v'nichrasa nefesh ha'echelas ma'amer, then they get kodesh. So if it says ki kol oichel chaylev min hambehema asher yakriv, if it says only from the animals that are brought as a korban, ein li ela chaylev t'mimim sheroi li koriv. So you would only know that it means the chaylev of animals that are tamim, which could conceivably be brought as a korban. Chaylev bali mumin minayin. Where do we know that it also applies to chaylev of bali mumin? Tamad lema min habehema. Therefore, the pasuk continues. Therefore, the pasuk doesn't just say asher yakriv. It says min habehema, from the animals, which means any kind of animals. But then chaylev chulin minayin. How do we know it also applies? Okay, so you would say, fine, that applies to animals of kodshim, whether they're tamim or balmum. How do we know it also includes chaylev of animals that are chulin, where you would never makdish them in the first place? Tamud lema ki kol. Therefore, the pasuk starts off ki kol, and we're learning from the word kol. So v'ha'ha'cha d'koy ba'oichlin. Now here you're talking about the word ki kol oichel chaylev, whoever eats chaylev, meaning that you're talking about the people who eat chaylev. And become marber ne'cholin, and yet we're seeing that we're including ne'cholin, we're including cholin animals. So you see that the word kol, even though it's in connection with oichlin, can still include more ne'cholin as well, as it does in this case, where it includes chaylev of cholin. So why can't we say the same thing by chametz? Where when it says ki kol oichel chametz or ki kol oichel machmetzes, then it means it includes not women, but rather more kinds of chametz, namely that it would include chametz, it would include taruvus chametz, that a person would be chayev kares for it. It's not a matter of taking off. Like this, we would say, again, we had before the hekesh between chametz and matzah, that we would think that women are potter from the issue of eating chametz because they're potter from eating matzah. We said the word kol tells us otherwise, but that all assumes that we're taking the word kol and using it to include women. But why should we do that? Maybe we should say the word kol tells us that whether you're talking about chametz gomer by itself or chametz gomer ayde tarovas, either way is chayev kares. And you don't have a ribui for women, and therefore women, we would say, are potter. So now you're telling me the logic is that you're saying that the word kol in connection with oichlin has to include other oichlin, it has to include other people who might eat it, but now we're seeing in the case of chaylev not. The words ki kol oichel chaylev is referring to the person who eats it. Later on, only after that does the pasuk start defining the ne'echolin, does it start listing the things from which you can't eat chaylev, min ha'behema asher yakriv mimena. So therefore, but the ki kol is referring to the people, and yet you see we're using it to include a different type of chaylev from cholin. So you see that the word kol can be flexible like that. Even when you're in oichlin, you can be talking about ne'echolin. So why don't we say the same thing as far as chametz? So that's the question. Now, in this case, it's talking, the word ki kol oichel chaylev is referring to the people who would eat chaylev, become ma'aben e'cholin, and yet it's including, we're using it to include chaylev and cholin. The answer is hosam deleka oichlin. The difference is, over there, there's nothing to add as far as oichlin. We know automatically that women are also to eat chaylev, because, again, we had what Rabbi Yehuda said, anam aleph, that women are chayev in all the same lavim as men. So if the pasuk says that men are not allowed to eat chaylev, automatically it includes women. No. Chametz, we had the hekesh. Chametz, we had the hekesh with matzah. So therefore, there's no oichlin to include ma'ben ne'echolin. Here, so therefore, we have no choice. We have to say that the word kol over there is including cholin. Hacha de'ika oichlin, over here you have other oichlin that you could include, because again we said even with Rabbi Yehuda Amarav's statement about hishvah kos of ishalish, we wouldn't know that it applies to chaylev because of the hekesh with matzah. Remember, we don't know yet. We don't know yet that women are chayev in eating matzah. We only get to that after we establish that they're also to eat chametz. Now, at this point, we're still saying we don't know yet that they're also to eat chametz. So therefore, we have to be ma'arba them with the word kol. Therefore, le'shavik lo eichlin ma'arba ne'echolin. Therefore, the logic is going to be, we're not going to ignore the oichlin, since the pasuk is saying ki kol oichel chametz or ki kol oichel machmetzes, where the word kol is referring to the oichel. We're not going to take the word kol out of context over there and make it apply to a different kind of chametz, when instead we could make it apply to a different kind of person, namely women. So that's the difference. So therefore, we have to say that the word kol is including women, and once we do that, then automatically we end up saying that they're chayiv to eat matzah after all, because we take the hekesh and run it the other way around. Okay, now that was all according to Rabbi Eliezer. V'rabbanon, the less lehu eruv. What about the chachamim who we said on Amud Aleph? They said that taruvas chometz. There's not even a lav in it at all. So obviously, therefore, they're not darshaning the word kol in connection with machmetzes. They would say kol machmetzes lo sechelu is still teaching us about chometz itself. It's talking about, for example, like we learned on Amud Aleph about chometz, about something that was made chometz using something else. For example, you put apple peels in it or whatever to make it chometz. They wouldn't say the word kol is including taruvas chometz because according to them, taruvas chometz, there's no isu d'arais on it. It's at most an isu d'rabbanon. So that's what we have to figure out. Yeah. So according to them, they're not darshaning the kol by kol machmetzes. Therefore, presumably, they're not darshaning the kol by ki kol oichol chometz either. So therefore, so if they're not darshaning kol, ela noshim minolahu. Where are they learning that women are potter or that women are chayev are also to eat chometz and are chayev to eat matzah? The answer is kol lo darshi, ki kol darshi. The answer is fine. They're not going to darshan a word kol by itself, but they will darshan when it says ki kol together. And here it says ki kol oicho chometz, or ki kol oicho machmetzes. So therefore, they will darshan that and say that it includes women, and then the rest of it will go like we said before. So it's exactly the same thing, except that Rebbe Eliezer is learning just from the word kol by itself, whereas a chum would say it has to say ki kol, and otherwise it wouldn't work. But now, so the question is, Eba kol l'rabbis is anoshim, ki kol l'rabbis is eruvay. Nu, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, where he says you can learn from the word kol by itself, in that case, then you have the word ki is extra. Can't you learn from that taruvas chometz is also chayev kares? V'chi tema ki kol Rabbi Eliezer loydorish. So you can answer, maybe we don't find that Rabbi Eliezer darshins the word ki kol to add anything separate. Just like the Chachamim are saying we don't dash in the word kol, they say it's just the style of the pasuk. Maybe he would say the ki kol is also the style of the pasuk, and therefore you don't dash in anything extra from the word ki. But no. V'hotanya, we learn in a braisa. The pasuk says, the paraphrase in the pasuk, sa'ur bal taktiru. You're not allowed to offer sa'ur. The pasuk says, we say it every day in davening, ki kol sa'ur v'chol dvash le'saktiru b'menu isha la'ashem. You're not allowed to offer sa'ur, you're not allowed to offer chometz or honey on the mizbeach. So you're not allowed to bring a korban mincha that's chometz, or the koymetz of it that's chometz. Now, ainli ela kuloi. Now, if you only had the word sa'ur loy saktiru or bal taktiru, then it would mean that you can't bring the entire thing as sa'ur. Miktsase minayin. How do we know that it means part of it? Tamad lema kol. Therefore, the pasuk says kol, where the word, one of the meanings of kol is any. So kol, so when it says kol sa'ur v'chol dvash loy saktiru, it means any amount of sa'ur or dvash. And a ruvi minayin. How do we know also if it's mixed together with something else? Talmud lema ki kol. Therefore, it says ki kol. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Kuloi miktsase and a ruvi. So Rashi explains over here. Kuloi would mean that the entire koymetz was made chometz. Miktsase would mean that you have, let's say, you have the minimum amount. Whenever you talk about burning something on the mizbeach, there's always at least a kezias. So here we'd be talking about half of the kezias is chometz and half of it is not. That would be miktsasei, and we're learning from the word kol that's also as well. And then you'd have eruvoi would mean, let's say you take a koymetz of a mincha that was allowed to become chometz, you mix it together with a regular mincha. Let's say you mix it together. You have a mincha of matzos. You have one type of mincha that we talked about in the previous parak is baked matzos. And then what you do is you break them into pieces. Now, let's say you mixed among those pieces, you mixed in a koymetz from another mincha that was sa'ur. So in all those three cases, the Torah is telling you you're not allowed to be makar of it. Tosfos points out, that's all according to Abaya's understanding. We have in the Gemara and Menachos, Rava has a different explanation. Kuloi would mean the entire koymetz, because Rava holds the koymetz is a minimum of two kezesim. So kuloi would mean the entire koymetz. Miktsasi would mean one kezias out of the two. And Aude Tarubis would be where there's less than a kezias of sa'ur in there. In any case, So we have, we see that we're dashing the word kol and ki kol. Now man shamat le dorish kol. Now which Tana do we see b'chlal that dashing the word kol? Rabbi Eliezer. That's specifically Rabbi Eliezer, because we just said the chachamim don't dashing the word kol. Vikadorish ki kol. And we see over here he is dashing in the ki kol. So why by chometz can we not say the same thing? That we would say that kol includes that we'd say that kol includes the women and ki kol includes taruvas chometz, and that would be chayav kodesh as well. So the Gemara leaves it kasha. That's a kasha. Now kasha doesn't mean tiuvda. We haven't shlugged anything up, and in fact, a couple of the Meshech Chochma and a couple of other achronim bring answers to it. The Meshech Chochma talks about that. The posik that say that you can say that in the posik the ki kol is giving a reason. It's saying, in effect, why do you have to destroy the chametz? Ach, by immersion, the shpusa so matechem ki kol oichol chametz v'nichrusa, because nobody's going to be able to eat it anyway. So therefore, we can say that the key is not meant for a drosha. It's giving a reason why you have to destroy chametz, because nobody is able to eat it. And why is nobody able to eat it? Because kol oichol chametz includes women. So you have no particular source to say that taruvas chametz therefore should be chayav kares, because you're not saying it's included in the pasuk. It's one thing when you have a key call, for example, when in the pasuk about sa'ur, the key call is not giving a reason. The pasuk is just saying over there that any mincha should not be made chametz. Key call sa'ur v'chol dvash, you're not allowed to bring on the carbon. That's not a reason. It's not you're not allowed to bring chametz because you're not allowed to bring chametz. That doesn't make any sense. Therefore, there we can say that we're dashing the key and the coal separately. But over here, you could say first the Torah is telling you to destroy chametz, tashbisu sa'um batechem. Then it's telling you that anybody who eats chametz is chayev kares. You can say the key coal is a reason why do you have to destroy your chametz? Because nobody's going to be able to eat it. So therefore, not necessarily would we have to dashing anything from the key over there. So that could answer the question of the Gemara, even though the Gemara left it as a kasha. Okay. And we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, on more all about this matter of Taruvas Chometz. In particular, you know, we have to discuss the question. Don't you have, when you have Taruvas Chometz, automatically you have Tam Chometz in there? Isn't that itself going to be an issue? So why do we need a pasuk anyway to tell us that it's also? So that point we're going to take up tomorrow about. That it should be included automatically. So that point we're going to take up tomorrow about Tam Chometz and about Tam Ki'ikr and other related topics like that. Okay. Yeah.